Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
You got to just keep them going. And I think that's the strength of our coaches is doing that. So that's the biggest thing is just letting them understand this is pride and we're going there to win.
In his end zone, Sean Mannion handing off and getting him in the end zone, getting him down into the ground and stopping him for the safety. It's Nick Kwiatkowski.
Trubisky on the take, giving to Montgomery. Montgomery slamming inside the five, moving the pile to the three, to the two, to the one, to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
Placement is down, the kick by Bailey, it is up, and it is good. Bailey's hit from 34, and the Vikings are in front for the first time today, 19-18. Here comes the rush, he's moving to his right, floats it open, catch made, down the sidelines, and tripped up inside the 20-yard line of the 19. Riley Ridley, and a big first down catch, and run, 32 yards on fourth and nine. Eddie Pinheiro now from 22. He's hit three for three today from the right hash. High snap pulled down by O'Donnell. The kick is up, and the kick is good for Eddie Pinheiro. 10 seconds to go, and the Bears back in front, leading 21-19. Mannion standing there for quite a while, going to launch it deep down the right side. A free ball up in the air, and it's intercepted by Eddie Jackson. And he takes his feet and slides it down, and that'll end the game. A fade-to-black moment for the Bears.
The one thing I said to him in the locker room is, being the parity in this league and being the fact that I don't care who you put out there on that field for the other team, those guys are playing hard. And it was, as you can see on fourth and nine at the end of the game there, it was loud. And so it doesn't matter. What we're looking for is a reflection of ourselves as to how do we respond in those situations. And they did that. There's a lot of stuff that we can get better at in that game. But our guys, the mentality and the focus this week was a lot better than last week. And it's not easy to win on the road, and we did it.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Yo, Mark Grody and Anthony Herod in for McNeil and Parkins on a Built for Tough Bears Monday. The victory chicken is making its way in as we speak.
Ah, from the boss man. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Smart idea. I see you spread the word. Did you send a company email to everybody saying that there's chicken? I see people all over the place, Mitch.
A lot more than normal.
My goodness.
If there's chicken in here after every Bears victory on a Monday and I haven't noticed it.
Right.
It must be because it disappears. That's got to be it.
Either that or McNeil and Parkins are being selfish and they're not inviting Anthony here.
Hoarding the chicken.
When they see you, they're not like, hey, Anthony, you want some chicken? Feel free. I brought Tupperware, so I'm going to bring some of that home later, get some key lime pie, get some of that fried chicken from,
goodness. 4 hours. What are you going to do? You're going to wait and eat the chicken later?
Nah, you're right. I've got my hard-boiled eggs here trying to create some
discipline.
That's
supposed to sustain you until 6?
I know, it's not going to happen. I mean, the smell is seeping through, and yes, Mitch Rosen did just bring in a big pile plate of fried chicken here. It is a victory Monday, there's no doubt about it. Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Yeah, with Anthony Herron, you can find him on Twitter, at Big Ant Herron. I'm on Twitter at Mark Grody Sports. Like we told you, a Built for Tough Monday. Boomer Esiason joins us at 3. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic at 4 o'clock. And some entertaining audio throughout the day as well, including from Mitchell Trubisky and the conversation I got to have with him one-on-one after the game yesterday. We'll play some of that for you. We also have a very entertaining caller from the Bernstein and McKnight show that I got a chance to hear, and I thought it was the essence of Bears fans. I can't wait to play that back for you as well. But, Anthony, here, I want to ask you, Are you like me, and I bet people listening, Bears fans, or maybe you're not even Bears fans, you just watch the Bears throughout the year. How many times yesterday, even in the first quarter, let's just say, how about when Kevin Pierre-Lewis gets what was an interception in the first quarter, mm-hmm. when Nick Kwiatkowski had the safety in the second quarter, when Bilal Nichols had the fumble recovery of the Mike Boone, by the way, that's his
Boom.
Name, Mike Boone fumble, were you like, now where's that been? Now where has that been? Because it was interesting how that game, and in the first half, from a defensive perspective, other than Mike Boone's 59-yard run to start the game, yeah. you're like, that was the Bears of last year in terms of defense, in terms of being fortunate, and all of that just wasn't there for the Bears this year in general. But that's kind of like, there were so many throw your arms up in the air moments last night, even when they won the game, and everybody's yeah. like, well, they won, but it was 8-8. So it was like this, like, if you're watching the game and you're a Bears fan and you're grinding it out the season, it's great they won, but then you're like, what the hell happened this year?
And that's immediately. The thing. So many of last year's wins were impressive, and our standards were different last year, but there were more splash plays. There were more times where it got into the fourth quarter and a game was in hand. And then, okay, you got a multi-score lead. Let's protect it a little bit. All right, here's Russell Wilson putting up some big passing yards and a touchdown in the fourth quarter to make it seem a little closer in a game that was already out of hand. That sort of thing happened a few times last year where there was a pseudo-comfortable margin in the fourth in a game that the Bears had controlled throughout. And it was so infrequent this year where it felt like they even – established control of a game in the midst of it, let alone had it in the fourth quarter where there was this dominant sort of effort. So even at 8-8, it was a very unimpressive, uninspiring sort of 8-8. It wasn't an 8-8 where it felt like, man, there's a missed opportunity because they let a couple of those get away. The missed opportunity is because coming off of 2018, we recognize what some of the personnel on this squad can accomplish. We've seen this roster do better than that. But within just the individual context of 2019, it didn't feel like this was a season where just a couple of key games got away, but there was something more special that could have happened. It was like the Cubs of, what was it, maybe, was it like 2017-ish Cubs? It was like, all right, yeah, this squad, even if they make the postseason, they're not going to do a whole lot. And then they didn't do a whole lot. Like, you could see that coming. Even if this Bears squad would have eked into the playoffs somehow, it didn't look like a team that was preparing to go on a run, because it was just so infrequent where they look like the squad that they themselves expected to be. The standard is the standard, and they so infrequently executed at the standard this year that I felt like 8-8 could have felt better, could have been perhaps more impressive, which would have still been frustrating for Bears fans. But there were rarely times this year where you could look at 2019 and say, all right, that looks like what we expected the Bears to look like in this particular season.
And one of the really interesting parts, too, is that this season started with going back to the organized team activities, the OTAs, with the parade of kickers. 11 kickers coming through Halas mm-hmm. Hall, right? So yesterday, in the first half of the game, there are three field goals that are made by Eddie Pinheiro. He ends up hitting four in the game. Obviously, the game winner at the end. And everybody is...
Shout out to Jeff Joniak, by the way. I haven't said this publicly, but for him rolling the R so consistently on Eddie Pinheiro's last name, I respect the heck out of the way he pulls
Pinheiro.
That off.
I got a yes. bone to pick with Jonesy, with Joniak.
Do you?
Yeah, really quickly. Because yesterday...
4 hours to make that. Okay, let's do it now.
Yeah, you know, yesterday he did the whole thing where he's thanking everybody for everything
Wait
that they've
a minute.
Done. Check me out here. So Joniak is, I'm down on the sidelines.
Right.
Working, man. I mean,
yes.
those guys are safe up in
Brave
that booth.
Brave and all the They're down, up in the ivory tower.
I'm in the realness.
You got all the elements down there.
All year
Bunch
long.
Of big sweaty guys who might run you over at a moment's notice.
Yeah, I've been there, man.
Taking your life in your own hands.
So Jeff Joniak is going through all the guys. There's thank yous to Tom Thayer and Matt Menke, our producer, and Joe Bartosz and Ray Diaz. And now I'm going to forget somebody, but and then he never got to. And a special thanks to our sideline reporter Mark Rohde. And I had thought that Jeff and I like
I
went.
Thought you guys were friends.
Well, see, you know how you get to that point where you're coworkers with somebody,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you're friends.
Yeah,
like I thought Jeff and I were
you
friends,
too.
But he
Did
never.
We just become best friends.
That's yep. what that,
that's
there were moments
what it felt like
there were moments
been going
this year
on.
Working with Jeff. I thought this year and even last year. Like, we became friends, and he gives all these glowing reviews for everybody on the broadcast.
Wow.
I don't know, Mike Chen, maybe at some point in time you could find that. Like, it's towards the end of the game. He's throwing all these plaudits for everybody, and nada for the old sideline reporter.
Normally, I would tell someone just to kind of suck it up, buttercup, but I can see where that would have stung.
Yeah. So I'm glad I got that off my chest.
I'm glad you did, too.
And it's even worse when your coworkers notice. I got Matt Menke in my ear going, I got Matt Menke, our producer, going, oh, nothing for Grody, huh? I'm like, yeah. So everybody, not only am I getting snubbed, other people on the broadcast are noticing it and reading into it and wondering, does Joniak not like Grody? What's going on
here? I wonder where this bad blood originated.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'd like to find out.
I've already started one rumor pre-show about your right hand. We may as well start another rumor before we get done here.
I got to be honest. I didn't get that. You said I have six fingers?
Six fingers on your right hand.
I do. Now, what am I missing here?
Okay.
Okay, tell.
Well, I'll leave it at that. There's nothing left to be said then, since you do have six fingers on your right hand.
I don't get it, but I'm thinking about it.
Okay, think hard. It'll come to you.
Let me get back to those field goals that A. Pinheiro made. I found it very interesting that he makes four field goals in the game, three field goals, whatever, and we were just bitching about it because they were in the red zone and they couldn't score touchdowns. So there's some strain. I don't know if irony is the right word, but they got into the red zone and they settled for the kicks and were angry about them making kicks. And they should be because
stop making all these kicks.
I know. Get the ball into the end zone. The Bears this year, Big Ant Heron, 22nd in red zones, 22nd at working those tight windows and getting the ball into the end zone. It obviously happened three times in the first half yesterday, and part of the reason is because of there are guys that failed you this year in that regard, one of them being Adam Shaheen, who was supposed to be a big red zone target, who I believe, crazy enough,
big body.
A couple of years ago, he led the team in touchdowns with three. This was before Matt Nagy came to the Bears. But you had Trey Burton, who was gone this year, injured, who had seven touchdown catches last year. Allen Robinson is a good red zone target, but you just did not have what it took. I mean, this is like the microcosm, the essence of it, to get the ball into the end zone and put points on the board. Matt Nagy even said it at halftime, you know, field goals are no good. They don't win you games. Touchdowns win you games. Well, it's funny that, you know, the kicker was the story in the beginning of the season, and it sucked that the Bears had to settle for three field goals in the first half yesterday.
And for Pinheiro and the way the offseason went, and for him eventually merging as the Bears kicker, and then there was this weird stretch in the initial weeks of the season where pretty quickly where we could tell, all right, the offense, definitely in the offense, it hadn't made that, you know, advancement to 202 like we were kind of hoping for. And the defense, while still playing very well, wasn't the 2019 defense to that same extent.
One elite.
Yeah, and so kind of felt like, you know what? Maybe the only question that's legitimately been answered is kicker. He hits the game winner against Denver in the thin mile-high air. Dude's making everything left and right. And then things for Eddie Pinheiro came back down to earth to a certain extent. Pinheiro, I'm going to stick with that because Joniak was there, and I appreciate what he did with that man's name. And for the kicking position itself, going into next year, I think it makes sense that they should allow Eddie Pinheiro to be very comfortable throughout the offseason in his job security. He should go into next year as the Bears kicker. I don't personally feel like making his, what was it, last 11 kicks of the season?
12.
Last 12 kicks of the season doesn't necessarily make me completely comfortable that he has established himself because of the way that those 12 kicks were being made. I mean, I think, and you're there watching it right there up close and in person, there was one kick out of that string of field goals he made that was longer than 40 yards. He made one 46-yard field goal two games ago. Other than that, everything was more of the chip shot variety, part of that being where he went through that very difficult stretch. Media's trying to figure out whether or not you're going to bring in another guy, you're going to work out of the kickers, is his job still safe? And Matt Nagy did what he does, what he should do in that scenario, and saying that he still has ultimate confidence in his kicker, Eddie Pinheiro. And that's fine. He handled that part well. What he also did in games, though, was pass up on a number of opportunities for 40-plus and 45-yard-plus and 50-plus-yard field goals that Eddie Pinheiro has the leg strength to make, but that he did not display the confidence in allowing him to kick and going for more fourth downs, partly because of where his kicker had been at certain points in the season. So it was nice, and I think it's a positive thing for Pinheiro to finish making his last 12 kicks. Only one of those was not of the chip shot variety by my math. So that to me says he will still definitively have something to prove going into next season.
Yeah, he was about 83% this year in terms of making field goals. You're right. They put him in good positions to make field goals. It's funny because Eddie Pinheiro is a small dude. He's a really – and I get it. He's a kicker.
He's a kicker.
It's not exactly a revelation of it, but he is a tiny guy.
Uh-huh.
And his thing is he does have a big leg. That was part of why he was named the Bears' starting kicker
this
year.
Have you ever tried kicking a football, whether from the ground or from a tee?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's really phenomenal how people of their stature can generate that type of force into a ball the way that they do.
Absolutely, which is why it's really interesting that he told me, I said, what do you want to get better at? What are you going to do to improve yourself? And he said, I want to get bigger. He said, I want to get bigger and stronger. He's like,
grow 4 inches?
He kept on saying he wants to add weight. He wants to add, and I said, why does a kicker need to add weight? And he says, to kick the ball further. And he already kicks it farther.
Kicks
it
pretty far.
Right? Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And maybe
split the uprights.
And I probably should have.
Not kick it out of bounds.
Yeah.
I probably should
have. With the De Niro kick.
Yeah. That's right. You tell him. Tell him, Joniak. I don't know that more beef will allow him to kick it straight more frequently.
Maybe it's to protect his body more, too, because he did have the injury.
Did he make many tackles?
Early? No, I'm saying like he hurt himself. Remember? He was hurt?
He tweaked his knee. He had the nerve deal going on. He was hobbling around for a few weeks. I do recall that.
Yeah,
I don't know if being heavier will help that either. I'm a man with bad knees.
Work with me here, man.
I mean, you asked the follow-up question. You did the journalistic thing. Why does a kicker need to add weight?
Yeah,
I don't think his answer made a lot of sense.
It didn't make
sense
to me.
It's good for
him
to work on something.
Because
working on something is good.
Well, absolutely. And he did, and to his credit, too, he said, do you think you earned the job? It seems like you got a vote of confidence from your coach. And Eddie Pinheiro said, no. He said, I'm sure there's going to be competition. There's always competition. So clearly, he's been told, Eddie Pinheiro, that there will be competition next year. Maybe not 10 other guys next year, but there will be competition for Eddie Pinheiro.
I like that in you.
I'm being told that we need to take a break right now. Mike Chen, by the way, is our producer. It seemed like we had like three or four producers on the text message we were talking to.
The chicken just cleared everybody out. There was a bunch of chicken in the hallway, and all of a sudden everybody disappeared.
We are down to Mike Chen, who is doing a wonderful job over there, and Mr. Chen will open the phone lines for us, too, during the break. So we'll take some of your calls at 312-644-6767. We are textable at 670-11. It's a built Ford Tough Bears Monday. Mark Grody, Anthony Heron, in for McNeil and Parkins on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
gravity the score.
So the message was, number one, I appreciate the fight all year long. We had a tough year. It was mentally challenging for all of us, but they fought through that. I like that. So I called them fighters. They're a bunch of fighters. And the message is that every year is always different. So regardless of it, next year is going to be completely different with completely different players. I hope that all of us understand, players and coaches, that what we went through this year, yet we need to turn that into a glass half full deal and learn from it. If you don't learn from it, then shame on you. You got to learn from it. And that's going to be our number one job, is to make sure each person does that.
Starts Monday. Mark Crotty and Anthony Heron with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy capsulizing the season over and over and over. That's what it's all about today, as the players clean out their lockers. Nagy speaking one more time to the media like he does after each and every Bears game. So, Matt Nagy coaches a lot. He has coached Mitchell Trubisky a lot this year. Trubisky gets coached a lot, not just by Matt Nagy, but by Mark Helfrich and Dave Ragone and any number of offensive assistants. And now it seems like he's just got to be coached differently, and he's got to be coached better, because whatever is going on in terms of the system that he has been running, we know that simply doesn't work. And even though Matt Nagy's system, I think, is a really good one, and I like the elements that he's brought. I like his version of Andy Reid's offense, if you want to call it that, because it does have different twists and turns, most of which we saw last year, not to the same degree this year. But it seems to me, Anthony, I don't know where you are with this, he needs to concede a little bit. I keep using that word, but he needs to concede some in that offense and rip out some of the chapters.
I keep using this word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
See, now I get
now
that.
You okay, now you're with me. Now you're with me. All right, we're on the same page here.
Six fingers I didn't get, but you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Man, I didn't know if you were joking about not getting my joke, and whether or not everybody's jokes were kind of being conflated and wrong.
So, we just became a team.
Yes, that's what just happened.
The word is,
and
I need at least 30 people to text in the movie if you can. Inconceivable is the word.
Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Think
please
it means what you think
text
it means.
In at 67011. The name of that movie right there. But I guess the question is, when I'm bringing it, I am convinced that at this point there is still hope for Mitchell Trubisky, and I think that he could be a legitimately good starter in this league if he has the right offense. And it's okay to say that an offense did not fit the player. Like, I feel like everybody's afraid to say that because it's worked. This offense has worked. Look at what Kansas City did. Look what Philadelphia did. Look at some of the quarter. It turned around Alex Smith's career. It probably is a great offense. Matt Nagy probably is a really good offensive mind. He is very creative. But guess what now? It's the biggest test of his coaching life. He's got to change a little bit for his quarterback so this team wins while the defensive window is still open.
You and I haven't gotten to have this discussion yet, but when you look at a few different examples I've used lately of offenses around the NFL that do what I believe suits Mitch Trubisky, suits the current construct of the Bears offensive line better than what we've seen throughout this season from Matt Nagy, the way he calls the plays throughout the game, the way it's structured by he and Mark Helfrich throughout the week, the San Francisco 49ers, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens. Three offenses that are different within their structure, within their formations, personnel groupings, but also have a very similar focus on not forcing their quarterback to shoulder the load of the offense as a passer from within the pocket. 49ers, constant pocket movement, constant balance of the run and the pass game, and chewing up clock and doing things to set up success for their defense and their special teams. Buffalo Bills, very similar thing. And Josh Allen, who, you know, a lot of folks weren't certain about last year. Now this season, because he's leading the Bills to the playoffs, there's this sentiment that Josh Allen is arriving before our eyes in the National Football League. Then to me, you actually watch him play the game snap by snap, and you see a very big mobile guy, super athletic, an RPG attached to his right shoulder. So, I mean, the arm strength, we saw those things in the draft process. What I don't see is the Buffalo Bills saying, hey, Josh Allen, sit stationary and read defenses from the pocket and win the game from the pocket, because that's not where he's at in his development. But it doesn't mean you can't win games in the NFL that way. Lamar Jackson, who's going to be the MVP of the National Football League, has not been asked to consistently win games and defeat defenses from within the pocket. Now, what he does in the Baltimore Ravens movement of the pocket, what he does in their run pass option, what he does and what they do in utilizing the weaponry that is his just explosive athletic ability, sets up a lot of what they're able to do with their passing attack also, because now you set up more one-on-one matchups on the outside. You get that safety dropping into the box. It does condense the types of coverages that he has to read. There was a lot of things that Michael Vick was able to take advantage of at points throughout his career. Vick didn't progress as a passer as consistently as we're seeing Lamar Jackson be able to do here early in his NFL career. But it was before last week's game, so I would need to quickly take an updated look at the numbers. But I actually tweeted this out at a certain point before the Bears played the game. I think it was before the Packers game, I want to say, where I was just comparing how many times have these quarterbacks, Mitch Trubisky, Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, how many times have all these different guys been asked to attempt 40 passes or more in a game? And I think it was like Jimmy Garoppolo had been asked to do it once, Josh Allen, or I think maybe Garoppolo had done it twice, and he was 1-1 in those games. Josh Allen was 0-1. I think Lamar Jackson was maybe 0-1. And Mitch Trubisky was like 1-4. He'd been asked to do it far more than anyone else of those quarterbacks who I compared the amount of movement for their offense and the limited amount of time they had to constantly operate from within the pocket. And that, to me, is what will give Mitch Trubisky the best opportunity for consistent success. At this point in his NFL development, it's something that we just haven't seen Matt Nagy implement consistently within this Bears offense. And I would say, you know, the game plan from the other night in finishing up the season against Minnesota, it was fine. You know, Mitch didn't move the pocket a lot, but it was some I formation in the run game. There was certainly run-pass ratio balance, so those things were good. The week before was one of the worst games that I think Mitch played while being put on the move.
Interestingly, I thought. I kind of liked him showing run on those first two plays. You're talking about the Kansas City game.
Right.
Now, the end around, reverse, whatever it was to Anthony Miller.
It's a fumble.
You could definitely make your case for criticism in there, but I kind of like the way it started, because it was sort of like, okay, this is the guy that we haven't had all year, the one that is not afraid to use his feet. As a matter of fact, damn it, we're going to run a couple plays to start the game where Mitch gets some blockers out in front of him and he runs for a few yards. And then it started to go downhill, obviously, when they did the end around, which I didn't have a huge problem with that play. Because if Anthony Miller, and we're going back to specifics here, but if Anthony Miller does hold on to that ball, that could be a 10 or 11 yard play right there.
And I felt like, from a play calling standpoint, I thought Matt Nagy called the game in a manner that set Mitch up for success far more so than he had in a lot of other games this season. I just didn't think Mitch played well against Kansas City. And that, to me, is the most fair evaluation when I'm thinking, do you have a quarterback you can win with? You won with him last season. If you do, then are you putting him in a position to have his most success? Are you putting your offensive line in a position for them to play at their best? And there's, to me, in 2019, there were far too many games where Matt Nagy didn't put not only his quarterback, but also his offensive line in a position to play at their best, because so frequently it was read from within the pocket. Here's your sitting duck opposing defense. Here's a quarterback who doesn't diagnose the blitz that well. Here's a young center before they made the James Daniels, Cody Whitehair switch, who doesn't necessarily diagnose pressure that well and has to communicate it to everyone else out there. There were so many different things where the faith, the positivity of Matt Nagy that he has within his players put them essentially in a bind, in far too difficult circumstances for where some of these individuals are at in their development.
It's a Built for Tough Bears Monday. That is the voice of Anthony Herron. I'm Mark Grody. We collectively are filling in for the McNeil and Parkin Show in until 6 o'clock tonight. 312-644-6767 is the number. Boomer Esiason will join us at 3. Kevin Vishbane at 4. And this is Mike in Rochelle joining us. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're on the score. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Well.
All right, well, I got a suggestion the way I think things should kind of fold or kind of unfold for next year. I'm not a big fan of pulling the plug and getting rid of Nagy and Pace like everybody wants. I don't think we should do a complete reboot, because we're too far along to do that. What I do think, though, is that we need to move on from Mitch. I think what he is. I mean, there's 41 games of his body of work. And honestly, I just don't think that Nagy needs to bend his offense so much to compensate for Mitch's, you know, inabilities. What I think we need to do is move on from Mitch. There's a way we can probably pull up about $25 to $28 million in cap space. I would say you cut Kyle Long, there's $8 million. You move on from Leonard Floyd because I think he can be traded to the Patriots for a fourth-round pick. You get rid of Shaheen. That's, I think, one point something. You get rid of Broniker. I think he's 0.8. These are all things that are towards the salary cap. So I'd hate to say it, but Danny Trevathan could be dealt. I think we got some depth at linebacker where I would feel comfortable with getting rid of Trevathan.
Well, Trevathan wouldn't need to be dealt. He's actually at the end of his
contract. He's unrestricted free agent. Anyway. And while we're at it, as is, and thank you for the call, as is Nick Kwiatkowski, he's an unrestricted free agent, as is Kevin Pierre-Louis, all of whom played, while healthy, all played very well, actually, this year for the Bears. So that's definitely something to discuss. We got the gist of your call, though. Yeah. The problem comes down to, and people maybe don't, I do still think there is good in Mitchell Trubisky, in the right system and put it in the right places. Mm-hmm. I don't think that this year was necessarily representative of what he is going to ultimately be in his career. The other part is that I hate the list of quarterbacks. I call it the Andy Dalton list. Like all these quarterbacks who are kind of has-beens or guys that have underachieved in their respective cities for their respective NFL franchises. When I hear those names, I just cringe. There's not a single name, and that includes Teddy Bridgewater. Because he's the leader of the pack, it seems. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, get Teddy Bridgewater. Like, all of a sudden, Teddy Bridgewater is a star. You know what I mean? Like, let's face it. He failed in Minnesota. And I get it. There, he has gotten better. There's been some improvement there. But I think that since you saw life in him, the same thing could probably occur with Mitchell Trubisky. There's not an alternative that does anything for me. It puts me to sleep, quite frankly.
I think the alternatives that seem plausible that are on the list. You know, Teddy Bridgewater would be the name that tops that list to me. I think there's more to prove as far as if he's a guy who can enhance a franchise. Like in Minnesota, he was very young, so he wasn't fully developed as a quarterback in the NFL yet.
But
either.
But he was left for dead the same way a lot of people want Mitchell Trubisky to be left for dead.
Well, his injury came while he was a winning quarterback with the Vikings, though. He wasn't lighting up the scoreboard.
But they weren't interested in – they didn't have the patience, or they weren't interested in, well, let's get him over his injury.
They thought he was never going to walk again. That was why they had to move on from Teddy Bridgewater. Now, he wasn't setting the world on fire, but he was winning games. He was somewhat middling along, and then he had the horrific leg injury, and folks thought he might not ever walk again. So he had several years kind of away from the game. Then he recovered, rehab. Now he's a backup with the Saints, where you've got some of the best infrastructure in the National Football League.
Right.
Between that offensive system, the talent, the roster, the personnel, and everything else. So I don't necessarily look at Teddy Bridgewater and say, yeah, that's a sure bet to come in and lift up the entire Bears franchise. He would top the list, though, of guys who I feel like, all right, if you come in, I think you can look at that and say that's at least as good as probably an upgrade from where Mitch is right now, especially for the system that it would appear Matt Nagy would like to run. Now, if you bring in a Marcus Mariota, another name that gets bandied about a lot, Mariota has a lot of the same frailties as Mitch does, because if you're going to say, hey, Mariota, come in, win from the pocket, that's not his strong suit. Now, if you're going to say, Marcus, come in, let's run around, let's do boots and sprints, and let's have run-pass balance and those types of things, put yourself in some harm's way with some RPOs, those are types of things they could be asking Mitch to do more anyway. Now, you bring in, if Mariota's a backup or if he's competing for Mitch, then sure. I think you need a different backup than Chase Daniel, definitively. I don't think bringing in Mariota, bringing in Andy Dalton,
Chris Tannehill.
None of those names. Chris Tannehill. Yeah. Now, to bring in Ryan Tannehill, he's likely going to stay in Tennessee with the Titans at this point because he was able to supplant Marcus Mariota. They'll probably pay to keep him there because he's come in and proven himself as a commodity that they would like to keep around. Now, if they don't, then it's going to be because he wants more money than they're willing to pay to keep him there. Then you get into how much money the Bears wanting or willing to spend to bring in some other QB. Because Mitch is going to be here next year. It's just what scenario is he going to be here in? Is he going to be here, you know, overtly, publicly competing for a starting job? I don't think that's likely. I think it's likely he's going to go into camp as the pronounced starter for the Chicago Bears, but there will be a different veteran backup who it will feel pretty obvious to me that if Mitch falters, then yeah, it's going to be this guy's opportunity.
He has to be capable. He has to be capable of taking over the team. It's funny, like the textures on Teddy is like they're kind of split. Like Teddy was hurt horribly bad, and then there's the Teddy was bad even before then. They called him, apparently they called him 2-point Teddy. I don't remember this necessarily, but yeah,
to be on sort of an Andy Dalton type of track,
yeah,
but still very early in his career.
Right.
Then he has the horrific injury. Now, he wasn't dealing with anywhere near the Vikings roster that they have in Minnesota right now. So right now, Minnesota has a roster, like I said earlier in the show, or in transition, similar to what New Orleans has. They just don't pull it off nearly as well as the Saints do.
We got a break, man. We've got Boomer Esiason coming up next, top of the hour, 3 o'clock, to talk about the Bears and the rest of the NFL and get into Ron Rivera, the new head coach of the Washington Redskins, although they're still haggling a little bit over
contract. Yeah, apparently talks might be slowing down a bit, Chico. We'll see how that materializes.
Yes, no doubt about it. It is Mark Grody and Anthony Heron in for McNeil and Parkins on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. It is, make no mistake about it, a Bears victory Monday today. The Bears did win, and that means that during the breaks, Anthony Heron and I are definitely eating chicken.
Chowing down.
From Joe's Seafood, Prime Steak, and Stone Crab at 60 East Grand, corner of Grand and Rush. And that means that Mike Chen needs to give us a little bit more warning before he comes.
Before we're coming back from break with our mouths full of chicken.
Hey, I'm trying to find the Joni Egg Gold. Sorry. I was back there working my magic.
He's asking a lot from Mike Chen today. He's rolling solo on the other side of the glass.
Four guys running the whole thing.
The ever-demanding Mark Grody.
Yes, I am. I'm a stickler. And I'm just glad that are the Bulls home tonight? Or they are.
Okay. They're
so,
home,
so David Schuster is going to have to deal with the chicken grease on the knobs over here on this particular side.
Yep, but Bulls are home. DePaul is home.
Yeah, I'll try to clean up after myself. Mark Grody, Anthony Heron. We are collectively in for the McNeil and Parkins show today on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. Just enough time right now to take Bill in Wisconsin. Ant. It's Bill. What's up, Bill? You're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Hey, more of a question for myself and the listeners out there regards to Trubisky. So is his talent just that poor, or the guy, because the guy does able to hit on some spots every once in a while, but is it just the lack of talent that the guy has? Can you answer that question?
Sure. He's talented. Just to simplify things, he's very mobile. He's got a live arm, and he can throw well on the move. The accuracy is where he struggles quite frequently, and the most often that his accuracy struggles is when he's indecisive. So thinking the game from the pocket, reading coverages, and quickly getting the information that comes through his eyes into his brain and getting it out through his right arm, that's where his accuracy tends to wane, where he's either late or indecisive when he's delivering the ball. And to me, there's several other quarterbacks. I was given some examples earlier in the show, Bill, like Josh Allen, like Lamar Jackson, who's about to be the MVP of the National Football League, who currently are still in the infancy of their development in reading from the pocket and in dissecting coverages from a stationary position. But they're leading teams to postseason play. Lamar Jackson is leading the Baltimore Ravens to one of the best seasons that franchise has ever had from a regular season perspective. And no one's complaining about Josh Allen in Buffalo. Now, part of that is he's in a little bit of obscurity because he's a Bills quarterback and not the Bears quarterback. But in addition to that, they're winning and they're on their way to the postseason. Because Trubisky was the number two pick in the draft and the Bears were really good. They were 12-4 last year. And it's a fair expectation he should continue to develop. But the point I've made is that I think the Bears could scheme the game more to suit where he's at, as opposed to where they hope he will be.
I asked Mitchell Trubisky in my one-on-one with him in the locker room after the game yesterday what it is, the number one thing that he wants to get better at in the offseason. Coming up in a little bit, you will hear that audio, probably about 3:30 or so. But next year, like 2 minutes from now, we are going to have on with us Boomer Esiason from WFAN in New York doing radio. He does television for CBS on the NFL Today show. So we will ask Boomer Esiason about the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky after 16 games this season. And we will ask him about the NFL as well. With Chico Rivera getting a job with the Washington Redskins to run things there. Some of the firings and hirings we will go through with him around the NFL as well. It's Mark Rohde and Anthony Heron in for McNeil and Parkins on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.